Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Heavy metal day. A subject, it's a little more complicated, guys, than we normally discuss, but I know I can get you there because it's just so important to understand these issues that abound about the heavy metals. I mean mercury. I mean radioactive metals like strontium-90. I've seen clients in the past that have had issues related to uranium poisoning. So anything from mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic, tin, aluminum, uranium, strontium-90. Metals abound. It's not just the fish. We should be more concerned about the air we breathe and metals than the fish we eat. Metals are everywhere. I don't think really the issue is as much how to stay away from them as what to do in a routine way to get them out of your body. So I want to put the heavy metals in a category of what, in an ideal world, we would assay or measure on a physical exam every single year. I want to propose to you that, occupationally speaking, anybody under high exposure, anybody in construction, anybody in auto mechanics, your hairdressers, anybody working in industry, anybody living in particularly polluted areas, in an ideal world, we would be measuring your heavy metal content every single year. Because we know that these metals bioaccumulate. So I'm going to introduce a word, bioaccumulate. It means they add up. It means they don't get out of your body as fast as they go in. It means they bind into your brain, into your spinal cord, into your kidneys, into your bone marrow. They go places you don't want them to go. And the point is, conservative allopathic medicine is only designed to measure the acute exposures. So you got to understand, when you get your physical exam every single year at Kaiser, wherever you go, they're not interested in the chronic bioaccumulation of heavy metal. They would be interested in acute toxicity. So certainly, as children, remember when the thermometer broke, when we had the mercury thermometer, and you accidentally touched that little bead of inorganic mercury rolling on the floor, and your mom saw you, and this was a commotion. Certainly, a toxicity in that moment is understood. But we're talking about a different animal. I'm going to talk largely about mercury today because this is such a huge topic, but I want to get to you some fundamental principles as only so you can functionally, in your day-to-day, understand how to look at this issue. We're talking about organic mercury, meaning mercury attached to a carbon atom. Methyl mercury. And a methyl group is a carbon and three hydrogens that finds a way to attach to a mercury atom. And methyl mercury is certainly vaporized in your dental amalgams. And that's an old story. I'm not going to get into that. We all know that those silver fillings vaporize to methyl mercury, and that methyl mercury distributes throughout the body brain, kidneys, so on and so forth. That's an old story. That's a true story. Get those things out. Put the ceramics in, the resins in. But that's not this show. This show is for you to understand a deeper perspective on how to look at the heavy metal issue and what to do about it. Fish. Fish is another source of methylmercury. And there we'll talk about fish hopefully later today. Some fishes are quite clean. Some fishes are a little bit more problematic, and other fishes don't eat. But the point is when we talk about mercury, we're talking about an atom that's got a powerful effect, and here's where the science comes in, so you got to really dig deep on this. When you ingest, let's say you make the mistake of dining on shark one night, or you have swordfish, and that's swordfish, so let's trace the flow of mercury in the body. So you go out, you're on vacation, you have a good large piece of swordfish, and you get mercury into your body. When that mercury gets to the cell, it does something I think you're going to find fascinating. It interrupts the electron transport chain in the mitochondria of the cell. Now, the mitochondria is a little powerhouse inside every single cell of your body. And this mitochondria, this organelle, produces adenosine triphosphate, ATP. And ATP is effectively the currency of the cell. ATP gives a piece of itself, a phosphate group. It gives a piece of itself to a bunch of compounds to move them around so that they can bind correctly. So when we say the currency of the cell, when we say the amount of ATP produced in the mitochondria, the interest there is, and this is what I want you to get a pictorial on, is that the ATP is like the strong man in the body. It comes up to two independent chemical compounds, and it moves them into position. It provides the energy or the force to move those two other atoms into position so they can bind. All chemical reactions are simply about the attraction between molecules. But that attraction is built into their juxtaposition to each other. You can't have a chemical reaction unless you have the right spatial orientation of the atoms or molecules involved. To create that spatial orientation, we make something called an enzyme. But to make an enzyme, we have to have the force or the energy behind it, and that's why we have ATP. So when we say ATP is the currency or the power of the cell, it's basically the money, the muscle to put atoms in right positions for correct binding. Now, this ATP is produced in a fascinating way in the mitochondria, where you have six or seven little islands, little compounds, all sitting next to each other. And there is an electron transfer, a negative charge, an electron transfer across a line of independent compounds. And as these electrons go across these independent compounds, it pushes the hydrogen atoms, H pluses, into a corral. So you can picture this. Picture six circles all next to each other in a line, and picture each circle in a relay race, transferring electrons from the first circle to the last circle. And as those electrons, those negative charges, are transferred, we corral, we put into a cage all these positive charges called H plus charges, hydrogen ions. And when we get enough hydrogen ions corralled into the cage, the pressure inside the cage builds and builds, and finally, by the time that electron is transferred to the sixth circle, all those hydrogen ions push out of their cage, and as they run out like horses out of a corral, an electromagnetic field is generated. A magnetic field is generated. And that's how we make adenosine triphosphate. ATP is produced as a product of electron transfer, hydrogen ion concentration, and the electromagnetic field produced as all those ions burst out of their corral. And this all goes on in the mitochondria. And then that ATP goes out and tells everything, gives everything the power or the muscle to do what it needs to do. Now, the problem is, if mercury's in the cell, mercury sees this electron transport chain, and to keep it simple, it breaks it down. It interferes with it. Instead of getting the relay race of electrons across those compounds to produce the ATP off that magnetic field, mercury sticks a wrench into that circuit. And instead of producing ATP, you produce free radicals. You produce hydroxy ions. You produce an oxygen attached to a hydrogen that's very hungry for electrons. So when we say free radical, antioxidants quench free radicals. When we say free radical, we always mean there's millions of types in the body, but we always mean a compound, a collection of atoms forming a molecule, or even smaller than that, just an atom that's electron deficient. It's looking to take an electron away from something else, which can really mess up a lot of things in your body. So when we have mercury off that swordfish getting into your cell, which it's not supposed to get, your body's supposed to take that mercury out, and we'll get into that. A strong body isn't going to have too much of this problem. And we'll get into that later. But that mercury that gets into that cell is going to create, by interfering with that transfer of electrons, it's going to stop the ATP production, which is what we mean by lowering the cell energy. When you hear things like CoQ10 bring up the cell energy, do this to increase your cell energy, this antioxidant increases your cell energy, what we're talking about is increasing versus decreasing the production of adenosine triphosphate, ATP, the muscle man of the cell, the enforcer. So when that mercury gets into the cell, it's going to ultimately create free radicals instead of ATP. And that hydroxy radical, then, is not created in a one-to-one ratio. This is another thing you've got to understand. What happens with Parkinson's, with Alzheimer's, with cancers, with all these neurodegenerative diseases is it's like a match being set to a forest in the middle of the driest part of the summer. And if you just set that match, an explosion occurs. It's not one atom of mercury creates one hydroxy radical. It's one atom of mercury may create thousands of hydroxy radicals. This initiation is like a forest fire. It's potentiated. It's not the one-to-one. It's 10 to the N. You got to understand that. This is what makes mercury and some of these other metals so deadly. They work exponentially in the negative direction. So we make these hydroxy radicals, these free radicals, looking for electrons. And if we don't do something about that in the cell, the whole cell will die. Those hydroxy radicals, unsupervised, unquenched, will destroy the cell. You would have massive cell necrosis. But of course, the body's evolved with many, many, many ways to fight back. And the way we fight back...